in verse 25. Job was a man that loved the Lord with all of his heart. Job was an individual that God chose as one to stand against all the onslaughts of Satan. God bragged on Job, but yet and still, even before Job lost everything. Now, this blows my mind, that before Job lost everything, he had a fear. And what was Job's fear? It was a fear that he would lose.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor.
Let's get personal about your issues. And we've talked about loneliness. We've talked about anger. We've talked about stress. We've talked about pride. This morning, we're going to look at a subject that when Jesus rose from the dead, that he let us know that he overcame. And because he overcame, we can overcome also. In John chapter 20, verse 19, we see that the disciples were gathered in an upper room. And it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. They were behind closed doors. They were afraid because the Jews had given opposition to Christ. And now they were fearful for their own safety, so that we find them hiding in fear. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 33. Luke 24 and verse 33. And they arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done on the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. We see the disciples cowering in fear for two reasons. Number one, because they were fearful of the Jews. And number two, when Jesus appeared to them, they were frightened and became afraid. And I want to speak to you on this resurrection Sunday morning on the subject, Jesus eliminated the fear factor. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he eliminated the fear factor. We all have seen that show on TV, the Fear Factor, where people face their fears, whether it's going into a area where there's bees that are everywhere and some people put bees all over their body, or whether it's going up to heights, or whether it's being buried alive, or whether it's being submersed underwater, that people have fears. And the purpose of this show is to get people to deal with their fears. And then at the end of the show, whoever wins, the host always comes back and he says, congratulations, you have won. And for you, fear is no factor. Well, I'm here to tell you today that for the believer, fear should not be a factor, because Jesus eliminated the fear factor. Researchers have found that there are over 500 different fears that people have. If you go on to that next slide, that there are 500 fears that people have. There are specific fears or phobias that people have, and this is a statistic that was presented in the year 2003 that said 6.3 million Americans, adults from ages 8 to 15, or 4.4% of the population, have some type of fear that they're dealing with. So that lets us know again, as we've been dealing with these issues, that there are people here today that are dealing with fear. Now, when we think about fears, there are different fears, and I'm going to talk about some of them a little bit later on, but some people have claustrophobia, which is a fear of closed spaces, and we have all heard about this, but there's some that we haven't heard about. There is homilophobia, and that's the fear of sermons. So I guess that's why some people fall asleep when I'm preaching, right? Because they don't want to hear, or they find something else to do. They get distracted because they don't want to hear the sermon. They have homilophobia. They have a fear of sermons. Then some people have ecclesiophobia, and that is a fear of the church. So whenever people stop coming to church, don't be hard on them. Don't criticize them. They might just be dealing with ecclesiophobia. It's a fear of coming to church, and it's a real fear for some people. So I'm not hard on people when they don't come, right? I just realized that this is one of the disorders that they have right here. And then some people just have a fear of fears, phobia. They just are afraid of being afraid. And if you think about it, since 9/11, our country has changed. That we have become a nation that has been possessed with fear. And all we need to do is look at going somewhere to fly. They check everything when you go to fly somewhere. And why is that? It's because of the fear factor. And we realize that fear is something that's real. And fear can happen to the most godly people. In Job chapter 3 and verse 25, if you would look there. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Job was a man that loved the Lord with all of his heart. Job was an individual that God chose as one to stand against all the onslaughts of Satan. God bragged on Job, but yet and still, even before Job lost everything. Now, this blows my mind, that before Job lost everything, he had a fear. And what was Job's fear? It was a fear that he would lose everything. Look at verse 25. Job says, "For the thing which I have feared, which I have greatly feared, is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come to me." So don't think that because you've been walking with God for some period of time that fears are not going to come your way. They happen to God's most spiritual, his most godly individuals. And the sad thing is that sometimes fear can be baseless. You know, we fear things that are not even something to be feared. I heard about a guy who constantly lived in fear, and he stopped going to football games because he thought that people talked about him all the time, and when the team was huddled up, he thought that they were whispering about him. So he stopped going to football games. And so, you know, people sometimes have fears that are totally unfounded. I like what Franklin Roosevelt said, "The only thing that you have to fear is fear itself." Jerome sang it this morning. He said, "Because he lives, all fear is gone." Is that your testimony today? Because he lives, all fear is gone. There are some of you sitting here today and you have fear. It may not be a outward overwhelming fear, but there's a fear that's residing in your heart. Sometimes when we have to have a medical procedure done and we're not sure about all the things that are going to happen there, sometimes that fear wells up in our heart. Sometimes people have fears that as they have to face certain things or do certain things, there's that fear of the unknown, and they struggle with those things. And so you may be sitting here today dealing with the issue of fear. What is fear? What is fear? Fear is a feeling of excitement that happens inside of you. And it's stimulated by either a challenge or the threat of harm or danger. Fear can be a response to something that is either real or imagined. As we think about the symptoms of fear, and some of these, you know, we see and they have kind of presented them in a hilarious light, but the fact of the matter is that researchers tell us that when people have fear, that these are some of the things that happen. That their pupils dilate, their breathing increases, their blood pressure goes up, there's a tightening of muscles, people begin to sweat, the skin whitens, the hair is straightened, and then there becomes uncontrollable bodily functions. And so those last three we often see in cartoons, right, where somebody is frightened, and then all of a sudden their hair will stand up and they will look like they've seen the ghost. And so fear affects our body. It's something that traumatizes us. If we don't get a handle on it, it could send us into a state of poor health. There are two types of fear. There's good fear and there's bad fear. There's good fear. Well, what is good fear? Good fear is when you fear the Lord. And really the word fear there is probably not the best translation when it says to fear the Lord, because when it says fear the Lord, what it means is to reverence God. It means that you have a holy reverence for God. It means that there is that sense of excitement, that almost terror in your heart, where out of that fear that you have a reverence and respect for God. That's good fear. There's another type of good fear, and it's the fear that protects us from danger. This is the fear that lets us know that we don't need to go out here and mess around with snakes. This is the type of fear that lets us know that we don't need to take a knife and stick it into the outlet. This is the type of fear that lets us know that if we can't swim, that we don't need to dive into the 20 feet of water. That's a good fear, because that fear protects us. But there's also a bad fear. And this is the fear that first showed up in the Garden of Eden, that when God created Adam and Eve, he created them with fear. But the fear that he created them with was a good fear, that if they responded to the dangers around them, that fear would work in their favor. But when they did wrong, the fear was turned negatively. And so Adam goes out and sins, and then God comes looking for Adam. And when God begins to look for Adam, he says, Adam, where are you? And it's not because God didn't know where he was. He wanted Adam to know where he was at. And Adam, what did he say? He said, I went and hid myself because I was what? I was afraid. How do you know about being afraid? See, this is where fear became negative in the lives of human beings. And from that point on, fear continued on to wreak havoc in the lives of people. Fear affects people's everyday function. And when it affects your everyday life function, then it's not a good fear. When you don't want to do certain things, when you are held back from accomplishing certain tasks, then fear is not a good thing. Fear is not a good thing when it cripples you, when it controls your life, when it overwhelms you and dominates you. Fear is not a good thing. Fear is not a good thing when it causes panic within you. And there are a whole lot of people that are experiencing this negative fear, and they won't do things. They won't try things. They stay in certain places. They won't move outside of their comfort zone because they have fear in their life. I know one of the most traumatic experiences for me is when I had to give my first speech. And I wasn't even called to be a preacher. I was in college. And I remember every student in the class had to give a speech. And for some reason, you know, they went through the alphabet, and usually when they went through, G was always toward the front. I don't know how I ended up, but I ended up at the last class I had to give my speech. And that whole semester, I would see people get up there, and I would see them give speeches, and I would think that one day I'm going to be up there, and I'm going to hate the fact that and that thing just controlled me that whole semester. And even though I went on with my life, in the back of my mind was the fact that I'm going to have to stand up in this class and give a speech. And I remember the day that I got ready to give the speech, I had my paper and had my notes, and I couldn't even sleep the night before. That's how it had gripped me. And I stood up to give my speech, and I took that paper, and I was shaking the whole time, and my voice was trembling, and I gave that speech. I was sweating. My muscles were tense, just like the symptoms are, and I gave that speech, and I said, man, I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to do this again. And when you think about that, just think about that for one second. How did that thing just had gripped me that whole semester? And there are a whole lot of people that live like that every day. Wow. I can't fathom that. No relief, no let up, just constantly having this tension in your body because you are afraid of something happening to you. Fear. The disciples were afraid. They were afraid of the Jews. They knew that the Jews were persecuting people. They knew that the Jews were in opposition to Christ, and they were afraid. And they were so much on edge that when Jesus himself appears to them, that what's the first thing that happens? They become afraid. They become frightened. And so fear is real. What are some of the things that arouse fear in our lives? Well, one thing is the possibility of failure. For you to attempt to do something that you've never done before. But let me remind you of the words that Dr. Gloster sang to us earlier. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Jesus eliminated the fear factor. And some people have fear because they just don't want to fail. They don't want to step out. They don't want to try anything. They don't want to do anything because they don't want to fail. And so fear holds them back. Fear can be aroused by being anxious or worried about something. I mentioned earlier that there are people that have to have medical procedures done. And when it comes time to have these medical procedures done, what do? They're thinking about it before, you know, a couple days before. And fear comes over. And they entertain that fear. And that fear heightens within them. And then they come to the point where, you know, it's almost like, wow, I really don't want to do this. Is there another way that this can be done? And so fear can come as a result of anxiety. Fear can come and be aroused by a traumatizing event that happened in the past. For instance, a child that was bit by a dog when they were growing up may have a problem now every time they see a dog. And so whenever they see a dog now, what do? They freeze up and they become afraid. Why? Because of that past experience that happened. A traumatic past experience. An unexpected, terrifying event. You're driving down the street thinking that you're doing everything right. And all of a sudden you hear the whistles go off, the siren go off. You see the lights flashing. And you think it's for somebody else. But he's going in. No, that's you. And the first thing that happens is what? Fear. So you get nervous, right? You start sweating, all right? So something that you didn't expect. And many of us, you know, so sometimes our life can just be going along smooth and we're just sailing along in life, and then all of a sudden something will happen or just stop us in our tracks and cause us to become afraid. And it will arouse that fear that's within us. An intimidating circumstance can arouse fear. A child that's being bullied every day at school. They go to school every day, and there's somebody there bullying them. And so what happens? They become afraid to go to school. Fear grips their heart. A lack of trust is a cause of fear. Why is it that some people don't want to fly? Because they don't trust the plane. Why are they afraid of flying? I know John Madden. He was an NFL broadcaster. And this guy had to be all over the country broadcasting football games. But everywhere he went, you know how he got there? In a bus. He had his own bus created because he was afraid to fly. He didn't trust the airplanes. So some people have fear stimulated because they don't have trust. And then one of Satan's biggest tools, one of Satan's biggest weapons is fear. Is that if Satan can get the child of God to live in fear, look what happened to the disciples. That when they became fearful, where were they at? They were tucked away in a room. They weren't out there proclaiming the good news. They weren't out there sharing the fact that Jesus had died. And they already knew that he rose again because two of them had already came and told them. But we find them ineffective. And if Satan can get you to become fearful, then he's got you, because you will be ineffective in the kingdom of God. How do people deal with fear? Well, there are three ways that people deal with fear. They avoid it. They just don't think about it. They try to put it aside. Or from the other perspective, they wallow in it, right? Right. Oh, I'm afraid. And they just become so paralyzed that they don't want to do anything, and it cripples their life. Or they step up to it and they face it. And that's what Jesus would have us to do. Jesus would have us, since he died and rose again, Jesus would have us to face our fears head on. What are the results of fear? Well, there are several devastating results of fear. It paralyzes a person, as I've already said, and makes them ineffective. It leads to sin, such as not trusting in God, that when we fear, that we begin to have faith in God and believe that he's able to let us reign victorious over whatever thing is holding us behind. It weakens a person's ability to be bold, that when you are fearful, when you are timid, you hold back, you don't step out, you don't move ahead, but you're timid, you're fearful. Like the disciples held them back. It begins to cause health problems when fear grips you and dominates you, and then it leaves you open to all type of attacks by the enemy. I went through that pretty quick, and we do have notes in the back for those of you who missed it. But I wanted to get to how do we overcome fear, because that's why we're here today. And you know what? That's what the resurrection is all about. The resurrection is all about you being delivered of whatever fear that you have in your life. Even as a church, we can become fearful, and we can not want to step out on faith. We can want to see things happen, and we can want to have all these ducks in order. And sometimes God says, don't be fearful, just step out on faith. And sometimes he's speaking to you in your life. Don't be fearful. What's holding you back from being all that God would have you to be? Some of y'all sitting here today, and you know that God wanted you to do something. You know that God had a plan for your life. You know that God had a job for you, and you didn't do it because you were fearful.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.